For those of you who were not present with us last night, we were studying the story of a Canaanite woman named Rahab. And we found out that in the scriptures, she is called Rahab the harlot. And I want to see if you remember. How many times? Five times. Now you say, where can we find Rahab the harlot five times? I didn't give it to you last night. I'll give it to you now. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. That's the first reference. Joshua 6, 17. That's the second reference. Joshua 6, 25. The third reference. And guess what? We have two more references to this woman in the New Testament. And the fourth reference is Hebrews 11, 31. And the fifth reference is James chapter 2, verse 25. So altogether, how many times is she designated Rahab the harlot? Five, and five is a number of grace and freedom. You say, how do we know that? On the fifth day, in Genesis 1, God caused the birds to fly freely in the air and the fishes to swim without obstruction in the waters. So we see freedom of movement in the air and in the waters on the fifth day. And it was all because of the grace or the freedom setting power of God. When Israel was liberated from Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, and when they left the wilderness 40 years later and crossed the Jordan, there is something in common with the way they crossed. In the crossing of the Red Sea, they crossed five in a row. And when they crossed the Jordan, it was the same thing. Five in a row. You see, where can we find that? What did the Lord tell us? Search the scriptures, for these are they that testify of me. So I'm going to help you a little. Let's see if that's correct. Because if it's not in line with the word of God, we don't want to assume or presume. Right? So let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And Brother Allen, our good reader, can you read for us, please, verse 18?
In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month, at even.
Mm-hmm.
7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house.
Oh, I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong chapter. It's the 13th chapter. Yeah, it's the 13th chapter, sorry about that, and it's the 18th verse.
But God led the people out through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt.
How many of you have a marginal Bible? That is, sometimes you see another meaning for a word in your margin of your page. And anyone can tell me if you have in the margin of your page a meaning, another meaning for the word harnessed.
Armed.
Huh?
Armed.
Anyone?
Five in a rank.
Right. In other words, five in a rank. And what was that due to? God's grace to the people who came out Because God told him, when I see the blood, I will do what? Pass over you. Pass over you. I like that word, pass over. How many of us, beloved, have wondered why God said those words? I used to read that, but never paid too much attention to it, except God would show them mercy. And that's one meaning. But the word means to skip, to jump for joy. And there is joy in heaven over what? One sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons. God leaps for joy when a sinner repents and forsakes the way of sin and turns to God and the way of righteousness. All right, let's go to the book of Joshua and the first chapter. And Brother Allen, verse 14, please, if you can assist us.
Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them.
You notice the word, you shall pass before your brethren, how?
Armed.
Anyone knows what that word is translated as?
Marshaled by five.
Marshaled by five. So it was God's grace that saved them and brought them through the Red Sea and through the Jordan.
What verse was that, Brother Bowen?
Chapter 1 of Joshua and verse 14. Verse 14, yes. So I just wanted to give you that to encourage you. But we must haste on to the story of Rahab. And I brought out, for those not present with us last night, that Joshua is a type of the Lord himself, because the same name Joshua is the same as Yeshua or Yahashua, and it's the same name that we have translated in our Bibles as Jesus. And there is Joshua, the leader of Israel succeeding Moses. There is a Joshua, the high priest, in the book of Zechariah. And Joshua is a wonderful name, and he was a great man of faith. As a matter of fact, the first man to have access to the scriptures was Joshua. Can you believe that? Moses said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You must meditate in it. Because by the time Moses left the scene, the scriptures were already being assembled. And Joshua was the first to have access to the written word. And dear friends, may I tell you, there are volumes of truth in the five books of Moses. We have barely touched the fringes of the five books of Moses, called the Pentateuch. And Joshua was to meditate in the word. Well, who is the blessed man of Psalm 1 that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful nor stand in the way of sinners? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and so on. Who was that blessed man of Psalm 1? Exactly, that was fulfilled in Jesus. How did Jesus know what scriptures to meet Satan with in the wilderness? Three times, what did Jesus say?
It is written.
And who can tell me, and I'm sure you know, and if not, that's all right, we're learning. Who can tell me which book of the Bible Jesus quoted from or which books he quoted from when he spoke to the devil, it is written.
Deuteronomy.
And all three quotations are from Deuteronomy. And you may wonder why. Because Deuteronomy is the book of the review of the wilderness journey. It's the second law, Deuteronomos. Deutero, second, nomos, law. That's how we get the word Deuteronomy. And it's a review of their progress in the wilderness. And Moses is bringing out the things that they did, the good as well as the bad. And could it have been that Jesus was meditating in the book of Deuteronomy before he confronted the devil? And as such, the Spirit quickened to him what was needful. And Israel spent how many years in the wilderness? 40. How much time did Jesus spend in the wilderness? 40 days. What kind of a son was Israel? Disobedient. What kind of a son was Jesus? Obedient. Hallelujah. So our Lord was well equipped to deal with the devil. And likewise, we too must be equipped with part of our armor, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right. Let's get to the thought of Joshua sending two spies who crossed the Jordan in a different way. Israel was to cross the Jordan. They used the fords or areas that they could cross over here and there and got into the land secretly, and they found shelter in the home of the harlot Rahab. But Joshua was a man of God, and God inspired him to send these two spies. And little did they realize where they would be hidden, in whose home they would be welcomed. But God had already made provision for them, and he had a woman ready to receive them. Isn't it wonderful how the providence of God is seen all the way through from Genesis to Revelation? And why should Joshua send these two spies, and he only sent two? Whereas when Moses sent out the spies, he sent how many? 12. When the 12 returned, how many had a positive report? Only two. And 10 had a negative report. And if you put it to a vote, like we have votes going on, who would win? The majority. But the voice of the people is not always the voice of God. Two men had the truth, and they did not perish in the wilderness. Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. So Joshua was led of the Lord to send only two on a mission of mercy. And if Joshua is a type of Jesus, then we see something here. That Jesus said he came into the world not to call the righteous, but whom?
Sinners
to repentance. And he came to seek and save that which is lost. Well, was this a lost woman? And were all the people in Jericho lost? And did all the people in Jericho hear the report of the drying up of the Red Sea and the defeat of Sihon and Og. And faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So they had an opportunity to believe or doubt. And of all the people in Jericho, there was only one woman who believed the report, and God put divine faith within her heart. Let me just tell you something. Human faith does not save anybody. Human faith is based on the evidence of the eyes. But divine faith is based on the truth of the Word of God. And man can't manufacture that faith. It has to be given to us. Yes. And when Paul says in the book of Romans, God has given to every man what? So where did we get our measure of faith from? From God. And what kind of faith did Paul say he was living by? And the life I now live in the flesh, help me out. By the faith, whose faith? Of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And when Jesus said, have faith in God, in the actual original, it is have the faith of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have to feed that faith. And if you feed faith, then you starve doubt. Amen?
Amen?
And Satan doesn't want the Christian to study the Word of God and get serious with God. And some people don't want to hear God's Word. They want to be entertained. They want to be told smooth things. But, beloved, we have to accept the Word of God. It's not always sweet as honey. It is sometimes bitter to the inward parts. We need not only the sweet, we also need the bitter. And I said to some of you last night, notice the way this woman makes a confession in the second chapter. She says to the two spies, verse 9, I know that the Lord has given you the land. How can a woman speak like that? And they didn't even cross the Jordan yet. And not I believe you will cross. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us, and all inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Oh boy, how did they hear all of that? Maybe they had news spreading, as we have news spreading in various ways. Maybe they didn't have radio and television, but news spreads. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And then she says in verse 11, as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, notice this, for the Lord your God is God. He is God where? In heaven above and in earth beneath. If thou shalt what? With thy mouth. Confess with thy mouth. And who is the Lord God of the Old Testament? The Jesus of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, you will show also kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Jericho was doomed for destruction. But before God sends judgment, what does he do first? He sends mercy. But in the whole city, there was only one soul that found favor in the eyes of God. So the mission of the spies was a mission of mercy. Now tonight, because there is so much in this story, I want to show you some thoughts about Rahab's window and the door in her house. In all my reading of the Bible, I never saw what I'm going to tell you now, that I'm going to bring to your attention in the story. Though I believe the story, I have preached about Rahab, I did not see how important there are two items in her house that were very significant. One was the door, and the other was the window. And her house was on the wall. And if you went through the door of her house, you entered into the city. But if you left her house by going through the window, you were going in the opposite direction. Now, when these soldiers came to apprehend the two spies, they had to come through the door. And she admitted the men had come, but she said a lie when she mentioned that they had left the house and these soldiers were to pursue them. They might find them. Once she closed the door, she headed for the roof of the house and entered into a covenant with these men with regard to her window. And the Bible tells us, verse 15, then she let them down by a cord. Where? Please notice this verse. Then she let them down by a cord. What comes after that? Notice that. Not through the door. Through the what? The window, for her house was built upon the town wall. And she dwelt upon the wall, and she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. I wouldn't go into all of that, except to tell you, the same door through which she let down the spies was the same door she was to put the scarlet cord. And that was not for her to see. It was for Joshua and his men to see in the time when the walls would crumble. And I'm simple to believe that though the walls crumbled, there was only one part of the wall, and it was the area where her house was located that survived. Can you imagine destruction on the right, destruction on the left? But this one house is kept intact. And there is a sign of preservation, which is the scarlet cord in the window. Now, she had asked these men for a sign. Let us look at the verse that mentions a token. All right. Go ahead, my friend. Read verse 12. Now, the word token means a mark or a sign. And a few years ago, I discovered something about this word that I want to give you now. Every covenant God made with man always had a sign or a token. Is that true or not? I want to repeat that statement. Every covenant that is mentioned in the Bible that God made with man had a sign of the faithfulness of God to keep his word. For example, when God made the covenant with Noah, what was the sign of that covenant? Ah. And how many of us, beloved, have ever wondered why we only see a half bow without an arrow? How many times the rain falls and we see a rainbow? I'm guilty like anyone else. We see things around us, but we don't always understand. Brother Gene was praying for us to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. The rainbow is preaching a message. And I never paid attention to that. I assume, you know, that there is part of the rainbow we see and the other part we don't see. There's only one place in the Bible where we see a complete rainbow. And it's not on earth, it's in the heavens. Amen? And the predominant color is emerald or green. It's round about the throne. The complete circle is there. And that must have tremendous depths of meaning. Simply to show us God is a covenant making and he's a covenant keeping God. How many of us agree God never breaks his word?
Amen.
My covenant will I not break nor alter the word that is gone out of my lips, the psalmist tells us. And I tell you, we need to lay hold of God's covenants. For the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, the psalmist tells us, and he will show them. What will he show them? His covenant. Right, so the whole Bible is a book of covenants. And all the covenants of the old are fulfilled in the new. Hallelujah. All look forward to the time when Jesus would come into human history. And guess what? Jesus is the one who took the arrow of the wrath of God against sin in his body on the tree. That's why there are no arrows in the half bow. Jesus faced the wrath of God that we might receive the mercy of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there is more to the bow in the cloud than I can explain to you. But that's just a little about it. When he made a covenant with Abraham, what was the sign? Circumcision. Yes. And when Israel was to leave Egypt, he gave them a token. And he said, when I see the blood, I will do what? And there is a verse there, Brother Allen, Exodus 12, 13. Exodus 12 and verse 13. Hallelujah. The blood shall be for a what? A token. And who was to see the blood?
Yeah.
God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Well, what is this scarlet cord that preserved the two spies and protected Rahab and all in her family? It's nothing else but the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the security of the saint and the deliverance of the sinner from the wrath of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now I'm going to give you another word. And that is the word translated token. I am no Hebrew scholar, but I love to check the meaning of words. And the Hebrew word for token or mark or sign is oath, O-T-H, oath. And it's made up of three letters in the Hebrew alphabet. You may say, well, we don't need to know all of that. I'm going to show you when you see this, you're going to marvel at the inspiration of the Word of God. And I understand my brother Gene works with a lady that is Jewish. And maybe if you talk to her, you can ask her this, okay? And see what she can tell you. Okay. Maybe you can find out what is her understanding of this word. Anyhow, the word oath, pronounced oath, is made up of three letters. Aleph, the first letter. Wav, the sixth letter. And Tav, the last letter, which is the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, that isn't telling us anything. But the Hebrew people, they have pictures in all their letters that form the alphabet. Every letter in their alphabet has a picture in it. And a picture is worth what? 1,000 words. And when we were little and were learning to read, we had those books, A for apple, back in Guyana. This is the way we read it. A for apple, B for bat, C for cat. And you see the pictures at the side. Well, that's the way the Hebrew language is. It's very picturesque. And Aleph is a letter in the shape of the head of an ox. And the ox was the largest animal for sacrifice. Is that true or not? What was the smallest animal for sacrifice? The two doves. And then you have the lamb. Sometimes you have the goat. But the largest was the ox. So it's the animal of sacrifice. So the first letter is in the shape of the head of an ox. Now, remember when the prodigal son came back home and there was rejoicing? What did the father say to the servants? Ah, let us kill the what? Well, who do you think is symbolized by the fatted calf? Jesus! Hallelujah! He came to be not only the priest, but the sacrifice. He is not only priest, he is sacrifice. Under the old covenant, the priest could not be the sacrifice. He needed a sacrifice for himself. So, in this letter is the word Aleph that links with the animal of sacrifice, the calf. Then comes the next word, which is Wav, and that means a nail or a hook. Nail. What do you do with a nail? I don't have to tell you, you know what we use the nail for. Brother Lester knows that. I don't know how many times he has nailed various houses with nails, and I don't know if he has hurt himself a few times, but we know what a nail is. And it is so amazing that the second word links with a nail. But the third word is Tav, and that is in the shape of a cross. The last letter is in the shape of a cross in the ancient form. And what was the material from which the cross was made? So in those three words, we have the whole story of Calvary. Are you listening tonight?
Amen.
You have the sacrifice. You have the nail. And you have the cross. And you see that in the wood of the cross. The nail on the cross. And the one who died on the cross. And now I'm going to show you something about the law God gave Israel concerning one who would take the life of his brother accidentally, and he had to use some tools to take the life of that brother But it was not always intentional. So if he didn't do it deliberately, he had to flee to a city of refuge. Else the kinsman of the slain man would overtake him and take his life. So let's read a portion, Brother Alan. And it's in Deuteronomy 19, 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 19, verses 5 and 6. All right, Numbers 35:32.
And you shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death.
Well, as you go back into the book of Numbers, you will see that the instruments that were used in the slaying of a fellow man are linked with the wood and the iron and stone. Wood, iron, and stone. What do we get the nail from?
Iron.
And what was the cross made with? And how is it that Jesus did not die from stoning when the Jews tried on more than one occasion to stone him? Did they succeed? And what kind of death did Jesus die? The death of the Jewish capital form of punishment or the Roman form of capital punishment?
Roman.
So why was Jesus not stoned to death? The year before the crucifixion, they were stripped from the power of capital punishment, and they had to appeal to Rome. And I believe the reason they could not stone him is because he never broke the law, and when the law was given, it was written on what? Two tablets of stone, hallelujah. And he didn't come to destroy the law, but to what? But guess what? He faced the wrath of God against sin. He who gave the law was willing to bear the penalty of the broken law. Hallelujah. And why? That you and I might go free. So in this word token, we see Jesus as the one who provided a city of refuge for all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God, who have fled for refuge, it says in the book of Hebrews, to lay hold of the hope set before us. Hallelujah. He is our refuge from the wrath of God and from the wrath of Satan. Deliver his soul from death. For I have found a what? Ransom. What is the ransom? The blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this red cord, the scarlet cord. How many of us have wondered why Herod arrayed Jesus in scarlet? Raise your hands. Remember they were mocking him? They put a reed in his hand. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And then they took away his garments and clothed him in what? Scarlet. It's in the Gospel of Matthew. Well, that is a garment of distinction. Who was the man who solved the riddle of the mysterious writing on the wall? And because he did, he was given a reward. He was to be clothed in what? Scarlet. Who was that man? Daniel. Daniel. So why is Jesus clothed in scarlet? Now, allow me, and don't be in a hurry to go home yet. Allow me to explain this to you. The scarlet is the same word that is linked with the scripture in Isaiah, though, come let us reason together, saith the Lord. Help me out with it, please. And though they be as crimson, they shall be white as wool. So the same word for scarlet is crimson. Would you believe it comes from a word that means a worm? And the only reason scarlet was produced and used in the tabernacle and in the garment of the high priest, in the garment of kings, was that color came from the death of a worm. And Psalm 22, Brother Allen, I want you to read an outstanding verse. I want you to read this verse because we can't begin to fathom what the psalmist is saying here. And it's David who writes this psalm in Psalm 22 and verse 6.
But I am a worm and no man. Mm-hmm. The reproach of men, despised of the people.
Beloved, you know what? That is the Messiah Jesus. Yeah. When he was hanging on the cross, he was a worm and no man. And he was going to be crushed with the weight of sin to release the crimson fluid. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh my. And only the red blood of Jesus applied to our black hearts of sin has the power to give us white hearts. It's like marveling how a black cow can eat green grass and give us white milk.
Yeah. Evolution, that's that.
Yeah. No wonder we love. What can wash away my stain? What can make me? Nothing but the? Hallelujah. All right. Where was the scarlet cord put? In the window. So once Rahab closed the door of her home to the soldiers, she was parting with the way of life in Jericho. And it reminds me of a scripture in Isaiah that has message for the end time. Come, my people. Enter into thy chambers. Shut the door behind thee until the indignation be overpast. Let's read that. If you can help me locate that verse, it fits the story of Rahab. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. It's in the 20s. If my memory is correct, yes, hallelujah. Chapter 26, Brother Allen, verse 20 and 21.
Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain.
That is the seven vials of wrath of Revelation that will be poured out before this age ends.